Hey, everybody. Welcome to Smack Talk 5280 on a beautiful Tuesday evening here in Denver, Colorado. It's been a few days since you heard from us, about a week or so, I'd like to say. We've been pretty busy with, you know, of course, the Super Bowl and everything involving that. So we wanted to give ourselves an extra day or two to collect our thoughts.
We took that big nap during the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that after.
It's like about Thanksgiving all over again.
Yeah. So just a PSA to everybody. We have reached a level in our podcasting career where we are starting to get to the point where we can take more sponsorships. I'm sure as you guys know, you've heard my very monotone and as professional as I can sound announcement about Anchor, our great people that have helped us make this podcast
fantastic
happen.
Sponsor.
Oh, amazing. I mean,
great. Like, I don't even know how we'd be doing this.
I have no idea. I have no idea how we'd be doing this without them. So shout out to them.
We would.
And you'll be hearing that ad a little bit later.
Probably just be talking to ourselves.
Yes, probably.
Which I do anyway.
Whatever. We'd be on a phone call, and then you guys couldn't hear it. But we've reached a point where we can take on more sponsorships. Not entirely sure who. I know one of the great features of Anchor is they tailor it to match your podcast. So I know SeatGeek is one of those potential sponsors that we'll be aiming for.
Steven is a geek.
Yeah, dude, you should see my glasses on right now. but yeah, so we're going to be taking in some more sponsorships. That means you're going to be hearing some more ads and hearing the placements of them changed around a bit instead of just one at the beginning. Cool. It'll probably be more during our breaks. So it's not just us saying we're going to take a break and about 0.5 seconds later, you'll just hear us come right back. We really appreciate if you do give those guys a listen, though, because not just besides Anchor, anyone else that we're able to take on, they go a very long way in helping us monetize.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So we'd really appreciate if you guys just hang tight with us. I know everyone likes to try to skip them, but just listen through them. They won't be long. We'll try to make them as painless as possible.
Who do we got on the pod today?
We have,
well, who's on the pod?
Very exciting.
Let's introduce ourselves.
That's right. It's how rude of me. So Steven, we got Trey, Cody, and Mason.
What's up, everyone?
Here.
How are you, Mason? Cody, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've all been together.
Yeah.
I haven't talked to you guys in a minute.
Feels like
all right. I know that it feels like we talk to each other all the time, but we don't. I think that's just a part of growing up. But
yeah,
whatever.
That's true.
Anyway,
I mean, granted, we do have a group chat. We communicate on the daily with either fire ass memes or some random football thing. So that's pretty good.
I mean, Mason does send us those videos of all those girls. So
yeah,
his hooker truck.
No comment.
Anyways, go on, Steven. What were you saying?
Anyway, so we're going to split the podcast up today. The opening segment, besides this one, we are going to have Cody Rourke, and hope to fucking God I didn't just butcher his name. But
I think we should, now that we have more sponsors, I think we should get to a point where maybe we hire someone to help us with name pronunciation. Because we are brutal on this fucking pod.
Oh, I know. Oh my God.
And we can care less, though.
Yeah. Sometimes.
What's up?
And that was Trey talk. But we're going to have Cody Rourke, and he is a NFL analyst / Broncos insider. And so we're going to get pretty.
We would plug his podcast, but we don't want to, you know, plug it without him here. You know, I don't want to say things that I don't know are true. Yeah. So we'll just have him on. We'll ask him, you know, what kind of pod he's been doing lately. Because I know he likes to jump around a little bit, right? I know he does Locked On Broncos. He's also a columnist for Predominantly Orange. So, I mean, he gets around, you know, not in that way, but
yeah,
very smart.
He knows his way.
He knows his way around the old pigskin. This is a pretty big deal for us because, I mean, we've always wanted to kind of tackle getting a fully professional, actually. I mean, I think we were shooting for semi-professional to start out with, but we're actually jumping right into the Shark Tank here.
Going right to the big leagues.
So,
well, the good thing about I know this is supposed to be a Broncos podcast, so it's kind of good to, you know, get more focused on Broncos. We do talk a lot of Broncos, but lately, because we did kind of jump in a part where there's like the Broncos aren't playing, which is sucks. But like, I feel like this part,
it was just the playoffs.
We're used to it,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, granted, I'm a Packers fan first, but Broncos I've loved for my whole life being in Denver. So it's pretty easy to get up and talk about the Broncos. And also it's more interesting.
Mason, are you a fan of anybody who's not from Colorado, like any sports teams?
Oh my God.
Like other than Tampa Bay?
Yeah.
The Ravens.
No.
What about basketball?
Ed Reed made me start liking them.
Ed Reed is legendary. He just got inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Yep. And Champ Bailey.
Him and Champ.
The jacket.
And Pat.
Yeah.
Yep. Pat too, man.
That was fantastic. Did you see, I'm sure you guys saw, but the video where he walks up and knocks on the Bolin family's door. That was just so cool because, you know, we've been waiting for it for so long.
Yeah.
I may have or might not have cried.
It's hard not to
I love that guy who comes to the door. That big dude who comes to the door. I love him so much.
Yeah.
Right.
I wish I knew his name. I'm ashamed that I don't.
Me too. I hate to call him the big
Santa
dude.
Santa Claus. Santa Claus of the NFL.
Santa Claus, yeah, he is bringing gifts. He seems like a very cheerful guy, you know? Like they showed him announcing like the general Hall of Fame announcements that they have to do, and he just seems so buoyant, you know, like happy.
Yeah.
High on life.
Killer boy. Killer announcement.
High on that gold jacket, dude.
That's just so crazy. Could you imagine getting your face measured for a bust?
No.
Like
no.
What?
That'd be
it's
weird.
It's like one of those things that you hear about, but you have no idea how it's done. You know? Like,
if that ever happened to me, they'd be like, "Well, he's got a really big Italian nose, and what the hell happened to his ears?" All right.
We would have kept measuring it, but all the oil on his face made our devices slip.
Ouch.
Pretty sure he's 60% oil.
It's vegetable oil. Mamma mia.
Mamma mia. So, I don't know if you've been watching, Steven. I know that you said you wanted to kind of catch up more on hockey, and I figured this is a good time to kind of cover something that I kind of took notice of. So, whenever they kind of talk about anything Colorado Avalanche, I just tune out. But today, on the radio, they snuck it in. Bastards. They snuck it in, but it was good, because this time, guess what, Trey? The Avs are not in the playoff spot anymore. They're out of the wild card.
They're out of that wild card spot, huh?
Yep.
Wow.
And if you recall,
that is...
on like the very first podcast that we ever did on this on Smack Talk, I was talking trash about the Avs, and I said I guarantee you that the Dallas Stars are the ones who dethroned them, and Dallas did end up dethroning them and I think they have the number one overall wild card spot. So that's all I wanted to say. You know, not a big deal. You can just call me Cody Dramas. What's up?
Did you guys see the Dallas Stars did the SpongeBob halftime show the way it should have been?
We'll get into that.
That's why.
So good for them.
That got them a playoff spot.
But yeah, we'll get into that during the Super Bowl talk. But it was a pretty wild situation to
Dallas is
see
third
that the day after.
They're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
The Avs are not that.
The Avs are just below the second wild card spot.
Yep. But anyways, sorry, Steven, I digress. I just know because when they said that, I was like, you know what? I'm sure Steven would be interested to know.
I would be interested.
That
and
we
I was.
Wallow in pity.
Yeah.
You know, my team, your team, we both aren't in it.
You know?
It's like we're Broncos fans again.
Exactly. It's like, it's just.
Well, hey. It's life of a sports fan.
Exactly. Like, I'm just.
You get to be happy once every 10 to 20 years.
Yep. Did you guys see that fucking kid? Sorry to swear, but. You see the kid from the New England Patriots parade that had the sign that said, like, 17 years old and I've been to 14 parades. It's like, fuck you.
It must be nice to live in on the East Coast at some point.
Unless you're a Mets fan. What's up?
When that kid gets old, he's going to have a rough life because he's living his best years now.
Yeah, you're
true.
Yeah,
true.
I mean, think about it. The Boston Red Sox have four. They won four recently, and then the Patriots have six, the Celtics have one, and the Bruins won in 2011. So,
must be nice.
It must be nice, you know? I mean, granted, we just experienced a championship not too long ago, and as a Red Wings fan, I can't complain. But as a Rockies
could you
and
imagine?
Fan,
yeah.
Could you imagine winning a championship like every year in at least one sport? Like, I feel like it would start to get old.
What do you mean? Like, winning gets old? Do you think winning gets old?
I think
if it would get old, I think it would become normal.
Yeah, it would just become the norm.
Yeah.
Well, just like Golden State is the norm for basketball now.
As a Green Bay / Denver fan, like the past 2 years, I guess I can include the first year after Manning retired with the Broncos, but for the past 3 years, I've just been in a weird enigma because I'm so used to the Packers and the Broncos being in playoff contention and being in there. So my whole thing is a season is six. Whoa.
You sounded Canadian there.
Words are
hard. Sounded like you went out.
A season success to me is if success. You make the playoffs and, yeah. You know, kind of go that. So I don't know, like being in this weird, and like with Denver, it's a little different because we did get that kind of weird season where it was right after Manning. It's like, well, we still did all right, but, you know, we just didn't make it. And then we, you know, tanked and then tanked again. And then Green Bay tanked and then tanked this year with Aaron Rodgers and everything like that. So it's in a weird situation where it's like, well, do I hope for a winning record next year, or do I hope for the normal, like, okay, let's get into the wild card spot and go all the way up to, you know, divisional or NFC championship or, you know, hopefully Super Bowl and just expect that, because I've just been in a situation where I've just,
did you say
I'm not
NFC?
Used to that. NFC championship
Or
AFC. Okay. Or AFC.
Honestly, in my opinion,
using the Packers as a thing.
If you go to the NFC championship game, you know who you're playing. You know?
Yeah.
Like, you think you know who you're playing. My point is like, in the AFC, it's versus Tom Brady. You're going to have to beat Tom Brady. That's just how it is. The NFC, it's like...
Right now, yeah. That's true.
You know? Like, a lot of people, like, for a long time, no one expected the Eagles to do anything, and they won a Super Bowl. Like, what?
Yeah.
It's stuff that comes out of the NFC is so different. Surprising. AFC,
yeah.
The only thing that comes out of it is Tom. Or the Broncos.
Yeah. Or the Broncos, really. It's been that. It's or Rob
Joe Flacco.
Or Flacco. Like,
or Flacco.
It's been like four quarterbacks for the past like 20 years almost. So I mean it's just a weird
the
situation.
AFC is the dominant force, I think. When I see the NFC, I just think of a bunch of young kids running around, honestly. And then when I think of the AFC, I think of people like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning and everything like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean Aaron Rodgers, but
and Drew Brees,
but I mean,
you know, it's just like I don't know. AFC does seem like AFC seems like old patterns tend to stick more than the NFC, because if you think about it, who's represented the NFC in the last few Super Bowls? It's been or last three. It's been Atlanta, Philly, and then LA Rams. It's like, out of nowhere, those three teams have not been overly dominant. We can
don't forget about the Panthers too.
I was gonna say, like,
I think we all
go back one
more
year.
Cam's had a hard slump after those, man.
Is that what we call him?
Rough.
I think we should call him the hard slump.
I like Cam.
I liked Cam until he started talking all that shit before the Super Bowl, and I was like, wait. And then guess what?
I just think he runs his mouth too much, yeah.
And then he – granted, I don't have anything against him because of that interview after the Super Bowl. I don't have any – you know, you just lost, whatever.
No.
You're going to be pissed.
Yeah, I get it.
At least he cared.
Yeah.
It sucks that he let his emotions rule him. You know, that shows that he's kind of mentally weak, but he's not my quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
My quarterback was like,
I don't have to deal
just
with it.
Want a chip, gonna retire.
Riding out on that sunset.
Yeah.
What a moment.
Beautiful moment. When he gave his speech, dude, when he retired, it was hard not to cry when he was crying. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I cried.
You know?
18 years of legacy, not just with Denver.
Yeah.
Not just with Denver.
No. First, I think he's the first player to win two Super Bowls with two different teams.
Yep.
So
Warner almost did it, but.
So, I mean, that's just legendary, right?
Almost.
What we watched him do in 2013 blew my mind.
Yeah.
Should have went, but whatever. Fucking Ravens. Anyways.
Fucking Ravens.
It's all rigged.
It is all rigged. Joe Flacco beat us. What?
Yeah.
What? Oh my goodness.
They had Ray
it should have been like this
Lewis,
guy who won a raffle beat us.
I mean, for me, it was like, well, Ray Lewis was on that team, and even though he was hurt for most of that season, like, it's still Ray Lewis. So that does something. All right, guys. We're going to take a quick break.
Next,
and
when you hear us, we'll be
coming back,
right?
Yeah, we'll be doing a big kid interview.
Bop.
So, should be fun.
Let's see what happens.
Hey guys, welcome back to Smack Talk 5280. With us today, we have our buddy Cody Rourke You may have heard of him. He does insider work with the NFL and a lot of stuff with the Broncos. So
hopefully if they were listening to the podcast earlier, they heard our introduction for you, Cody. But if they didn't, you want to give a nice little introduction for him?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys. Well, you know, first off and foremost, I want to thank you guys for having me on here to talk NFL, talk Broncos. Love doing that. Anytime I can find a way to do that, you know. My girlfriend says I talk about it too much, you know, even when she's around, you know, I'm
hey, talking man, I
about
feel that.
Trade scenarios, free agency, you know, even with her in conversations at dinner. So, you know, I kind of find myself drifting off to NFL conversations more so. So, hey, anytime I can get on here to talk is great. And to the audience, you know, I'm an NFL analyst. I cover the Denver Broncos in the National Football League, do a lot of great work over there. I'm also a host for the Locked On Broncos podcast for the Locked On Podcast Network, covering the Broncos daily podcast. I mean, so, you know, Monday through Friday, all you know, every single day, every week that you can have, except the weekends, you have a show all year long, 5 days a week, Broncos topics, 30 minutes or less, giving you the best coverage and insight possible on there. And then obviously, you know, being able to jump on here with you guys, appreciate it.
And what a great show. I mean, I've listened to the pod, you know, definitely a handful of times, and it's a great pod to listen to. So, you know, if you listen to this pod and you're like, I want to hear some more Broncos talk, give that podcast a listen to. Great one to listen to.
Arguably someone that knows quite a bit more about
I do listen to a whole bunch of podcasts, and Cody is very, very intellectual, Cody.
I appreciate that. Thank you, guys. I like your podcast, too. It's really laid back, and that's one thing I really like is sometimes, you know – the setting always, you know, in this industry is always fast-paced and busy. So anytime you kind of get back in a more laid-back setting, I mean, that is one thing I always look forward to. So you guys do a lot of great work, and I hope listeners of Locked On Broncos flock over to you guys as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, brother.
We appreciate that, man.
Appreciate that.
Thanks, man. All right, so you guys got some questions for Cody? We can get some Broncos questions knocked out because we've been deliberating here and, you know, kind of what we do is it kind of seems like we're all just screaming at each other with all these ideas, but – what we do have is we kind of have an agreement on a couple things. You know, we all love Case. You know, I think one of the things that Steven really enjoys about the current football team is Case Keenum, you know, and looking at a season that he had last year and the season that he had the year before in Minnesota, you know, we're just kind of wondering here, where do you think we go with Case?
You know, that's a great question. You know, everybody's, you know, coming down really hard on Case Keenum. Case Keenum had an average year for the Broncos this year. I think the expectation was, when the Broncos had signed him originally at the beginning of free agency, it was the first move of free agency. I remember being up 1 o'clock in the morning just waiting for the latest news, and Adam Schefter drops it, a bombshell, you know, close to midnight, 1 a.m. And I remember being one of the first on the story alongside with that and really kind of analyzing, okay, what does this mean for the Broncos? Because really the thought was the Broncos would be all in on Kirk Cousins. Well, he wanted too much money. We saw how that turned out in Minnesota. Case Keenum, his production really was impressive in Minnesota. And to be honest with you, you look at the Minnesota Vikings O-line, they were worse than what the Broncos had at O-line. And the Broncos O-line was much more improved in 2018. That's one thing I think not a lot of people really talk about.
Especially for how Band-Aid put together it was, right? I mean, it was patched up, and it was, you know, we were pulling things out of the hat, it seemed like, at times. But there was games where it was like, wow, that was some great line work, you know?
Think about it this way.
Mention the Steelers game.
Yeah, Broncos between two running backs. You know, if Royce Freeman, I firmly believe if Royce Freeman didn't get hurt with that high ankle sprain, I believe the Broncos would have had 2,000-yard rushers. I mean, Royce Freeman had about 550 yards rushing this season. Phillip Lindsay broke over 1,000 yards. And you know, Royce Freeman missed some of those games, and they were a really dynamic duo. And a lot of that, you got to give credit to the offensive line. If the offensive line wasn't better in 2018, there's no way in heck that Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman run as successfully in the run game as they did. Now, the passing game, we're getting back to Case Keenum here, is, you know, I feel as if the system that Case Keenum was in, it didn't play to his strengths as a player, as a quarterback. You know, we saw in Minnesota, Case Keenum was better on the rollout, on the run, play action. The Broncos, the offensive system under Bill Musgrave was much more different. You had some play action. Absolutely, you had elements of the play action there. But primarily, you were under center, you were in shotgun, you had to do a five-step drop, and that was really not tailor-made to the strengths of your quarterback. So
totally.
I think in 2019, yeah, that's got to be the huge emphasis. You have to play to his strengths.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I think will be great for this Broncos team is, you know, despite what some people say about Case Keenum, I think we can all kind of agree that, you know, with Rich Scangarello, this new coaching staff, Fangio, you know, all these fresh people, you know, it's kind of like if you're staring at a problem for too long, all you need is fresh eyes to come look at it and be like, you know, I can't believe you didn't see this, or, you know, we're going to look at it in a completely fresh new way. So I think, you know, we can all kind of agree that there's a bright future and that we all are pretty hopeful for where this team's going.
I think you nailed it perfectly. That's a great way to describe it. You know, when you look at something too long, you absolutely it doesn't hurt to have a new perspective on it. And I think Rich Scangarello working with Kyle Shanahan, you know, it was a move the 49ers didn't want to let him go. And I was talking with our local 49ers expert, Brian Peacock. He does a Locked On 49ers podcast. And he said that was a tough one because the organization grew very fond. He was the guy that really identified Nick Mullins, who, you know, I think he surprised all of us. You know,
fits the scheme great here.
He came out of nowhere. Yeah, he came out of nowhere. And Thursday Night Football lit up the Raiders, who, you know, granted, look, let's see how the Broncos played against the Raiders. It right. didn't bode that well for them. Derek Carr was lighting them up, and then Nick Mullins did the same thing to the Broncos. Right. So an eye for quarterback talent playing to the strengths. Rich Scangarello right now, I think that's a good move for the Broncos.
I would agree with that. What are you thinking about the wide receiver situation? I really enjoy our rookies and our young guys at wide receiver, but one thing we've debated, well, not so much of a debate, more of like unanimous yelling at a wall. We really want to see Emmanuel Sanders re-signed, whether he has to take a pay cut or it's a one-year prove-it deal. I would really enjoy seeing Emmanuel Sanders back to bring that leadership. But do you see giving him a full offseason of after, you know, a rookie season in the NFL really improving the passing game, especially because once Case Keenum steps into a role where he can drop back, roll out, you know, play action, all the kind of things that brought him success in Minnesota, do you see that these rookies are going to be elevated and start to become really like the next generation of great Broncos receivers?
You know, I think there's certainly that potential there. We saw it in bits and pieces with Cortland Sutton, who's a massive, massive guy. He reminds me a lot of Calvin Johnson, in all honesty, or even an Anquan Boldin. That's what Cortland Sutton really does remind me of. Now, Cortland Sutton has to evolve in the NFL. He can't just be a one-trick pony, and no pun intended there, being over there at SMU. But he's got to be able to.
You got a nice stable, huh?
Route running, yeah. And I did. That was like totally unplanned. I was spontaneous and crazy, but
thinking on the feet.
Yeah, but being the guy that's the jump ball guy, you got to evolve more than that. And so he's got to improve. I think his release off the line of scrimmage is very, very strong. It's a strong suit for him. However, he's got to evolve in terms of his route running on post patterns, you know, dig routes, slant patterns. And I think more so consistently, we got to look at him catching the ball more effectively. You know, there were some inconsistencies in terms of drops. I think that's just rookie timidness a little bit.
Some jitters,
definitely
for sure.
Evolved. But think about it this way, too. The Broncos, for the last part of the season, had to rely heavily on young guys. We mentioned Cortland Sutton. We mentioned Tim Patrick. We mentioned Deshaun Hamilton. Emmanuel Sanders obviously going down with the torn Achilles. Huge. That was a huge blow to the Broncos' offensive hopes, and I think to the chance of making the playoffs, honestly. And then Demaryius Thomas, you trade him away. The Broncos traded Demaryius Thomas away, obviously not only just to save money going forward in the future, but they had enough confidence in Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, and these other guys because I went down there in training camp, and I tell you what, I was thinking to myself, I was talking with some other Broncos insiders down there, and I was like, right now in training camp, it looks like these Broncos, they have so much depth at wide receiver, something we didn't have the previous year. And the thing that really bothered me was like, man, they can't keep everybody, though. They're going to have to cut some talented players. Well, they ended up keeping more wide receivers than we thought, and luckily it played out well for them. Now, you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders at the beginning of your question and re-signing him. I think it's absolutely necessary you bring Emmanuel Sanders.
If not just for his leadership, right? I mean,
yeah,
completely attitude change, I think, with having him around. I mean, not to interrupt you, Cody, but to make a quick point, what, you know, this recent fiasco between him and Antonio, you know, this is something that I think speaks better to him as a person, and the reason that I think John Elway and everybody who, you know, eventually brought him over here from the Steelers, they kind of agreed on, you know, like this is somebody we want to have around. He's willing to learn. He's willing to put in the time and be a part of the team, you know, and it's not just Emmanuel Sanders featuring, you know, the receiving core and the Denver Broncos. You know, he was just another Denver Bronco who loved being a Bronco.
Yeah, no, and I absolutely agree with you. His leadership has been so critical because one thing I really loved about Emmanuel Sanders in training camp, being up close and personal, is he took a lot of the young guys under his wing. He worked with them. He gave them some coaching tips. You know, Zach Azani, the new wide receivers coach from last year, he was major with Emmanuel Sanders. And at first, the two butted heads a little bit because Zach Azani's got a strong personality, strong leadership, and Emmanuel Sanders is a grizzled vet, you know, and he's like, who's this guy coming in and, you know, telling me all this and stuff? But The coaches, Zani and Emmanuel Sanders, if you guys check on them now, they have such a phenomenal relationship, and it's all built off that respect. Look, I'm here to make you better. I want you to be better than you can be, which is a theme we've heard all offseason.
Absolutely.
Especially with talking with Von Miller. Yes. He thinks he can play better. That is amazing. I mean, that's what you want, because if you think that your level of play singles out and levels out at one single level without getting any better, that's when you start to digress in the National Football League, because you do have talented guys that are hungry, that are making plays. And Emmanuel Sanders entering his, you know, the age of 30. You know, the thing is with him coming off an Achilles injury, that's a tough one, but he's going to be ready, from what I've been told, by week one of the NFL regular season. So, you know, I think they'll ease him in. He probably won't do much in training camp. I'd be very surprised if he did. He just got the walking boot off today, so that's a huge thing for him going forward. But those are tricky injuries, and there's also a mental game to that. So there's going to be some rust. But his level of impact with these Broncos wide receivers, the young guys in that room, has been so pivotal. And Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick, River Craycraft, those guys have been very vocal about how big it's been.
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
100%.
Trey and Mason, we're going to give you guys a roll with your questions. I figured we could kind of go down the list a little bit back and forth and everything. So, Mason, if you want to – or Trey, if you guys want to go ahead and kick it off.
Yeah, I got a quick question.
So I'd like to know, you know, we got Vic Fangio. I would like to know, what do you think of him? How does he stack up against the rest of the coaching hires in the league? And I'd like to know, what do you think fans can expect to be different between him and Joseph?
That's a great question. Now, here's the thing. This is a very interesting part, because I think the Broncos really learned from the Vance Joseph experiment. When Gary Kubiak was forced to retire due to health concerns, it was almost like a rush process in terms of their coaching search.
It did seem like a surprise.
Yeah, it happened too quickly. And I think a lot of Broncos fans, including myself, I was like, why? He had one of those
little heartbroken
worst defenses in the National Football League. Like, seriously, like, they didn't even consider anybody else. I know, you know, Sean McVay was a candidate, but nobody knew that Sean McVay would have the success that he was going to have LA. You know, so you can't really, you know, everyone's like, oh, the Broncos missed out on Sean McVay. Well, you know what? So did a lot of other NFL teams that had no idea that this special teams coach was going to be the next big offensive-minded head coach in the National Football League. That was, you know, kind of thing.
And maybe we might have known earlier because of Shanahan, you know, like you were just saying. You know, maybe that was, you know, our first exposure to him, and, you know, maybe – at the time, you know, the thinking was, you know, we want to have experience and education. You know, these explosive offenses weren't just Tom Brady. You know, it was, now we're seeing, you know, Mahomes and, you know, especially Foles. Foles is even surprising people, you know. But these explosive offenses where you're like, holy crap, you know, the LA Rams specifically too. But, you know, these things weren't, you know, common like we're seeing now.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And here's where I'm going to answer your question with Vic Fangio. We saw exactly in Super Bowl 53 a very high-scoring offense all year long, a top-two offense in the National Football League with the LA Rams. And we saw a top-10 defense in the National Football League with the New England Patriots. And that defensive game plan by Brian Flores, the now head coach of the Miami Dolphins, was phenomenal. I mean, I don't think you could have put together a better game plan. Now, it wasn't – you know, a lot of people are saying that Patriots' defensive performance is Canton-worthy, which I highly disagree. I don't think that's Canton-worthy. If it was Canton-worthy, they would have scored points defensively in that game. You know, the Broncos, you look at the 2015 Broncos defense, their level of taking the ball away, creating turnovers, as well as scoring. I mean, that Super Bowl performance there by that defense against the number one offense that they had in the National Football League, MVP and Cam Newton, that was a Canton-worthy type of performance. But not to minimize it, here's the thing. Vic Fangio, you know, I think the NFL kind of figured out a little bit how to maybe slow down the Rams offense. Let's not forget, the Chicago Bears played the LA Rams on Sunday Night Football, and the Chicago Bears defense was all over Jared Goff, Todd Gurley. They couldn't get anything going.
Yeah.
Vic Fangio's defensive scheme essentially formed a blueprint that, look, this is what we can do to counteract an offense. And it all goes back to, guess what? There's one position. I think inside linebacker, versatility at the inside linebacker position was the key thing in that. You had Roquan Smith, for example, Danny Trevathan, and then, you know, the Patriots. They had Dante Hightower, who, in my opinion, should have been Super Bowl MVP, the way he performed. But Vic Fangio, his emphasis on attention to detail, defensive game plan, not giving up big plays, I think his philosophy will bode very well with Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, Chris Harris Jr., and whoever else they decide to bring in. I think they're going to be very aggressive. I think they're going to upgrade defensively in a lot of positions. You could see C.J. Mosley being a target. Like I said, another versatile inside linebacker That is going to be a major part for the Broncos' defense this offseason. And Vic Fangio, here's my thing compared to Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph, you know, has some NFL coaching experience, position coach, you know, a little bit of a D coordinator. But guess what? Vic Fangio has been in the NFL for over 30 years. I will take that. He's been around everything. He's seen high-scoring offenses, low-scoring offenses. His defenses have been very top-tier wherever he's went. And that's one thing that I think will never change. You can't beat experience. We saw that Super Bowl 53.
Agreed. I like that.
I would hope, Trey.
Yeah. Who looks at the Super Bowl 50 performance and goes, you know what? I don't think that's Canton. I completely agree with you.
Patriots
fan. I
think you
get a gold jacket for just being a huge fan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Trey. Go ahead.
No, you're fine, buddy. You know, lots of great points there. What I'm leaning towards right now is I don't know what the Broncos do with striking it rich already with the coaches. In the offseason, where do we lean more, the draft or free agency?
Ooh, you know, that's a tough one. The coaching hires have been very huge. I mean, you look at it this way, too, and I think I kind of skipped over this in the previous question, but in terms of the Broncos hiring of Vic Fangio, they also hired Mike Munchak, who was also a head coaching interview for the Broncos. They hired him as the O-line coach. You have Zach Taylor, who's now the head coach of the Bengals down there in Cincinnati. And then Brian Flores, you interviewed him as well, who's now the head coach over there, the Miami Dolphins. So, you know, the Broncos, they interviewed some very, very key guys. And one thing stood out today because Zach Taylor had really mentioned something with his, you know, first introduction press conference as the Bengals head coach. He said, you know, he called the Broncos organization a first-class organization. He said that the people in the room were great. They asked great questions. I thought we had a great conversation. It was a really good experience for him. That is something that I think the Broncos are trying to right the ship because, look, the front office, John Elway, and them, they've had a lot of criticism, and rightfully so. When you miss out on quarterback, you miss out on certain things here. They had an epic draft in 2018. They got to build on that in 2019. You know, I think the Broncos front office has done a lot of things to correct some of those mistakes. Now we have to see the results play out on the field. But, you know, really, I think we're going to see more of an aggressive approach in free agency and look for them to upgrade mainly defensive positions as well as bringing in maybe a couple of offensive guys. We could see a veteran wide receiver be brought in just to be, you know, another experienced guy for some of these young guys. You know, there's some options out there.
I can see it.
Yeah, and that's the big thing too. But the NFL draft, that's where really I don't think the Broncos plan is really formulated yet until how we see free agency go. Now, I still do believe that they will go quarterback in this year's draft. Now, we could see the potential possibility of trade partners with the 49ers. You know, there's links and there's reports to Drew Lock and the Broncos having strong interest. You know, the Broncos haven't, you know, hid their interest from him. However, creating that conversation now creates discussion amongst general managers. Do we want to make a trade? The Broncos have strong interest in this guy. You know, we
valuable.
Like this guy.
Honestly,
as well.
That headspace.
Absolutely. Headspace. We like this guy as well. What can we do to move up to possibly get him? It creates that conversation to move some resources around. But, you know, I think Broncos go quarterback. They have to. I think they have to bring in a young guy. You can't wait, essentially, for 2020, which, you know, you're going to get Jake Fromm. You're going to get Tua. You're going to get some other guys out. I just don't think you can risk that here. And right now, also, a guy that's really not being talked about, Dwayne Haskins isn't being talked about much by anybody. It's Drew Lock. That's the main.
Do you think Dwayne's a sleeper?
I think he is, and I think he's the first quarterback off the board, in all honesty. I think really this offseason depends. We just really? See the Eagles, for example, they exercise Nick Foles' option, so they're going to use that as trade bait. So look for teams like the Giants or the Jaguars to be heavily interested in that, and that could really shape how the rest of the draft goes for the first top 10 picks.
All right, now I'm kind of tempted to stay on Broncos, but there's a couple things that, you know, I'd like to talk about outside of Broncos. Does everybody have – another question or anything like that about the Broncos, or can we kind of switch to
really right before you switch? The last thing is I want to kind of get your input on the whole trading Von Miller comment by John Elway and the reaction of Von's mother, because
yeah,
so you've heard
drama.
About it.
Oh,
my own personal belief is I would, there's not much that could let me part from Von Miller being, you know, the face of Denver for so many years, and just because, you know, everyone expects, because he hasn't replicated, you know, his Super Bowl MVP season of just being the most dominant game wrecking outside linebacker in the league. He has had some super solid seasons since Super Bowl 50. So for even John Elway to make a comment on that, it did kind of ding me the wrong way. And I may have lined up with a sword and shield behind Von Miller's mom ready to go at him.
Will there be jerseys or jackets or t-shirts that you will make that we can therefore buy and support you, but not actually do it?
Yeah. Oh, man. So but what was your whole thoughts on that situation?
You know, this was the crazy thing too, because it was a very talked about thing. Now, John Elway did his end of the year press conference, as always, alongside Joe Ellison. And the question he was asked by Troy Rank, great friend of the show here. And one of the things that Troy had asked him, you know, we see NFL teams all the, you know, this year predominantly, we've seen, you know, Chicago Bears, for example, trade for a superstar player like Khalil Mack. And is that a possibility and things like that? And I think the way it was worded, John Elway didn't necessarily come out and say, look, we'd look at trading Von Miller. That is absolutely not even a thought process in the Broncos organization right now. Von Miller is the entire face.
You
of
think
the
he's a lifer?
He is a lifer. I guarantee he's a lifer, barring some sort of tragedy or a major, major injury. Von Miller will remain a Bronco for life. People I've talked to inside the Broncos organization said the Broncos have never even once remotely thought about trading Von Miller. You know, every year you get trade calls. You know, the Broncos received trade calls for Chris Harris Jr., for example, Bradley Roby, Von Miller, and the conversation is quick. It's a laugh by the general manager. He hangs up the phone after that. I mean, that's kind of the thing is, and I know Broncos fans, you know, it caused an uproar because, you know, I think Broncos fans, we've all kind of sat back and we saw, you know, at first we all thought, you know, way back when Jay Cutler was there, I think a lot of people were mad about the Jay Cutler trade at first, which, you know, I look at it more so with the Kyle Orton thing. I think it leads us to where we are. You know, you bring in Peyton Manning and Peyton Manning, unfortunately at his time was facing being cut if he did continue his NFL career, but it just, the market for NFL quarterbacks is different. Now pass rushers, we see that as very valuable in the National Football League. And Von Miller is absolutely one of the best out there. I mean, talk about a 14 sacks this season for him, Bradley Chubb, 12 and a half. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that with a pass
game wrecking
duo. I mean, you can't change that. That is amazing. And factor in too, Von Miller has done this. He's had 10 sack multiple. He's had 10 sack seasons in every single year of his career, minus the year he tore his ACL, which he only played in 9 games. He had 5 sacks that year. So, you know, he could have possibly very well had, you know, 8 years of 10 sacks each. And he's doing that by drawing double teams and triple teams and chips from the tight end, slot receiver, tailback. He's doing a lot with you know, the limited.
It seems like he's almost not ever double teamed. You know what I mean? And the things he does with that alone is fantastic to watch. You know,
him just even go, like the snap count, it's incredible because you often think he gets offsides and he's not. Like they have to do like a replay and they're like, no, technically he was a 1/100,000th of a 1/5 second before the snap count. And it's like, how do you do that? And how would you – yeah, he's incredible. And so I'm very happy to hear
that. Well, look for the NFL in the future to – you know, I think some of those penalties that they're going to make those reviewable. So be on the lookout for that in the next couple of years. The collective bargaining agreement is going to be expiring, I believe, after this season. They have to renegotiate 2020. Mm-hmm. You know, we could potentially see a lockout from what I've been told and just my understanding and where I've been in the sports industry. Right now, it's looking a lot less likely that the NFL may, you know, I think they're going to experience a lockout in 2020. And I think that the XFL really capitalized on
that. I was just about to bring that up.
Because they're looking at that situation saying, look, well, the state of the NFL, fans are unhappy. There might be a lockout, and this is our perfect opportunity to showcase what we have in the XFL. It's a
brilliant, and not just that, I mean, wrestling has been going way up. I mean, viewership alone has been skyrocketing. I mean, it's definitely not – you know, a household thing, but it's more, you know, at work, you can hear people talking about it more frequently, or, you know, this might just be for me, but, you know, day to day, you're kind of hearing more people about it, and it sparks interest. You know, people are interested in this, and it's just something that McMahon has where he can tap into.
He's an opportunist, man.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know what, I think if they do get a lockout, maybe it's just enough to scare the NFL to realize that they don't hold all the chips in this game, you know, and sometimes that's what it takes. The perfect example is the NHL, or I'm just saying that because I played hockey for forever, but, you know, that's just a perfect example of, you know, they're not afraid to go to a lockout. The players union is totally okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And so obviously you heard that here first. It may happen. Be on the lookout for that.
Oh, absolutely. Did we just break some news?
you know, of course we're here with Cody Rourke, you know, Locked On Broncos. Yeah. So if you guys hear that and we're think back about this and be like, you know what? He's damn right.
Cody, hey, you heard it first.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, true. Cody, well, Cody from the podcast. No, that doesn't work. Cody Thompson. What's up?
Yeah.
Go ahead with what you were going to segue into.
That's tough. There's multiple Codys here.
Oh, that was Cody. Tough. That was tough.
Cody on Cody. Maybe it's a future podcast. Hey, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see where this goes.
I like it.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So the thing that I kind of wanted to bring up was if you recall, kind of towards the end of that, we were talking about Nick Foles. Now the Eagles are expected to pick up his option of $20 million. Do you think that he's going to buy back his freedom with two and get the franchise tag?
You know, I really don't think that's the case in this situation, because there's been so much controversy with the Eagles and Carson Wentz, and you know, you had some sort of anonymous sources within the team, some anonymous teammates that have said that he, you know, he's the worst teammate ever, and it sparked a lot of conversation. You know, unfortunately for Carson Wentz, he had the ACL injury, and then obviously he had the back injury, and Nick Foles comes in, and it's almost as if they almost have the similar chance to have that Cinderella run they did last year because of Nick Foles. And a lot of people are thinking, wow, you know, can they go back to Carson Wentz? Can they do that? And, you know, Nick Foles has rightfully earned his right to go play for an NFL franchise and be the premier guy rather than being a backup. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl. I mean, he's been that critical guy. He played great down the stretch. And, you know, unfortunately for the Eagles in that regard, they know that. And I don't think they would franchise tag him necessarily because they don't want to sign him to that contract. So really the risk would be, okay, we have to trade you away. And what would that generate? That would probably generate maybe a second or third round pick that they're going to be looking for in terms for getting from, you know, Nick Foles in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Some organization, you know, look for the Jaguars or the New York Giants to be some of those teams that do that. Now the question is, do you trade within the division? Do you trade Nick Foles to the New York Giants if they have enough to offer? They're looking for that next guy to be behind Eli Manning. And so really at this point, there are some interests there. You know, the Broncos have been linked to be sort of a plan B for a Joe Flacco or a Nick Foles type guy, but that's more than unlikely going to happen. It's more than likely the Broncos are going to go with a rookie guy as a quarterback. You know, Drew Lock, obviously the premier guy that everyone's looking at. But for Nick Foles, he's going to go somewhere and he's going to get a chance to play. And I guarantee you, I think Jacksonville is the place where Nick Foles will end up.
And how happy are we going to be when we see him finally, you know, break away from the Eagles and, you know, Wentz's shadow? And it's just kind of unfair that he's Super Bowl MVP and, you know, all these great things. And it's kind of, you know, unfair in my opinion that he does all these great things and then they're just willing to let him go, you know, and it's just kind of frustrating. So I want to see him succeed. You know, I'm not a huge Eagles fan, but, you know, just seeing what happened to him in LA and all the places he's been bounced around, the fact that he finally made it and not only made it, but made it look easy.
Yeah.
Against the Patriots of all things. Just, I mean, the Philly special will be something that goes down in history. I mean, that is when I watched that play, I mean, I was blown away. That was some gutsy stuff, especially in the biggest stage ever, you know. So, again, I couldn't be happier for him once he gets and finally settles in. And if it is in Jacksonville, I think that's a great landing place for him. I think they're needing some leadership like that, some experience, and, you know, kind of some we have something to prove attitude.
I absolutely agree. That's the way they got to go. And for Nick Foles, it's going to be an opportunity for him and his family to go on and showcase and play somewhere and contribute to an offense. And I think offense that really needs it. We saw it with Jacksonville. They really digressed. They had a great defense, you know, last year. And unfortunately, that wasn't the same case in 2018. So they have to get that offense fixed. They have talent defensively still. But, you know, he's going to go somewhere where he's going to play. And rightfully so. I think he's earned that. Like you said, Super Bowl ring, Super Bowl MVP. You know, I think his shadow has grown bigger than Carson Wentz, unfortunately. And that's one of the things is they can't, unfortunately, do that. They can't do that to a guy they drafted in the first round with Carson Wentz. So, you know, it'd be one of those shocking things, you know, if he ended up staying with the Eagles. But from what I'm being told, I'd say Jacksonville's probably the more likely landing point.
All right.
Absolutely.
So I'm gonna snag an opinion really quick from you, and then I'll try and Mason grab one that's not Broncos related, but I got like a couple teams I follow, of course, religiously. One of them's obviously Denver, but my first foremost love is the Green Bay Packers. And so when you were bringing up Jacksonville, I'd like to get your opinion on the state of the Matt LaFleur and Hackett coaching hires and where that sits with Aaron Rodgers and everything. Being someone that recognizes that Rodgers to his ability this last year, or should I say this last season, and just kind of get your, you know, your more educated opinion on it for me, just being mad, yelling at the TV and throwing, you know, provolone.
Hey man, you know, I was in the same boat too when watching the Packers this year. I was like, man, they got the best quarterback in the National Football League, and it just doesn't seem like they have the pieces behind him. I mean, think about when Ty Montgomery fumbled that ball. I mean, he was mad. Prior to that, he was on the sideline throwing a fit and pouting, and then he gets that kick return, fumbles it, and then they go on to lose that game there. That is a
lost blow. Part of my soul. Oh, lost part of my soul.
I felt during bad that there. Game. And then you go on and, you know, you're playing against the Bears and, you know, you go down with an injury. And that's kind of where things really went downhill for Aaron Rodgers. He didn't play healthy all year long, unfortunately.
No.
And here's the thing. This is why Mike McCarthy was fired, which I think Mike McCarthy is a good coach. However, you have to involve in the National Football League. And really, their front office, you know, Aaron Rodgers is great. But really, you have a couple of good wide receivers. You make a gamble, and the tight end move for Jimmy Graham didn't even pan out remotely close
No.
what the expectations were. We saw that move in the offseason. We're like, wow, Aaron Rodgers to Jimmy Graham, that is going to be scary. And unfortunately, it was a fight. It was like one of those wet fireworks. You light the fuse and it just sparks and then bam, nothing. Nothing at all.
It's a straight dud.
And
I did hear they are we're expected to re-sign him this next year or pick up his – or keep him, I should say. And so we'll see how it works next year. But, yeah, you're completely right. It was like a – wet firework.
And I think health has to play a major factor in that for both guys. Now, here's the real thing. I think the Packers defensively, they got to do a lot more. They kind of dropped off a little bit. They had a strong start. I thought, in my opinion, based on watching the first couple of games, they had a decent defense at the beginning of the year. And yeah. We talk about Clay Matthews, you know, unfortunately getting penalized for even touching the quarterback. That was a rough thing for them. But yeah. Overall, in that division, that's a tough division down there. I mean, I think it might be one of the toughest divisions in the National Football League outside the Lions right now. But, you know, those three teams that could have very well make the playoffs next season. So with Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur going forward, Matt LaFleur is a great offensive mind. And I think everyone is kind of the offseason emphasis for teams needing a new coach was we have to find the next Sean McVay. I think that narrative has paused a little bit. I think Matt LaFleur is not going to try to get too fancy. I think he's going to utilize Aaron Rodgers. They have to focus this offseason on bringing in some veteran key playmakers on the offense and defensive side of the ball, because that's the only way they're going to get better. You have to improve the offensive line in different areas. You have some strengths on that offensive line, but you have some deficiencies as well. And Aaron Rodgers, despite how smart he is and being able to get the ball out of his hand on the run, I think better than almost anybody in the National Football League, they have to do more things to surround Aaron Rodgers with supporting cast talent. And they haven't done that. And that's going to be a huge test for Matt LaFleur in this new direction for the organization.
Yeah, I would agree. Cool. All right, Trey Mason.
Good luck for Matt LaFleur. I hope he does well. Yeah, sorry, me too. Not to interrupt, but I do too. I like when the Packers are good. You know, my mom's a huge Packers fan, and so you know, I think it's better for the league. I think the more Little Wayne is involved in the league, directly, indirectly, the Packers need to do better. You know.
Yeah. True. So we're gonna let Trey and Mason ask you a question, and then we'll wrap it up for you here tonight, so you can get back to it. But yeah, go ahead, Trey Mason, whatever you guys want to. Go for it.
You know, with Antonio Brown news,
here it is,
especially that big news coming out today with him and the domestic dispute, do you think he stays with Pittsburgh, or they push him away more because of that?
Ooh, you know, that's a tough one. I saw that report today, too, and it kind of scratched my head. I said, you know, this is not a very good offseason for Antonio Brown. He's not doing a lot of things to make his interest from other teams really peak, and he's going to cost a little bit, I think around $12 to $13 million per year. If a team decides to take him on and they trade for him, that's not worth it. But I think he's burned some bridges down there in Pittsburgh. And I think right now, Antonio Brown's credibility in terms of being a guy off on and off the field for them is about as credible as Ja Rule being a booking agent for major companies. I mean, it's very,
I just saw your tweet about Fyre Festival. What'd you think about that?
Yeah, I tell you what, if I could summarize it in one word, it's don't trust Ja Rule in any venture he ever gets involved with.
But him and that kid he's with, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was bad, but I highly encourage you guys. Hey, that's a great documentary to watch it. You know, they duped some NFL athletes into investing in it as well. And
one of them was Chris Harris Jr.
Yep, unfortunately.
Oh, no. Wow.
See, I remember the first time Chris Harris posted that on Instagram. I said, what is he talking about? I said, what is this? And then come to find out, they made a whole documentary on the fiasco that it was. Really great entertainment thing for anybody listening. You know, it'll blow your mind just what this, you know, what they did. And Ja Rule, one of the quotes Ja Rule said, which I'm going to use very consistently when it comes to contract negotiations, it's not fraud, it's false advertising. That might be something.
100%. Antonio Brown's getting that tattooed right now. It is.
He's going to have a new tattoo, and Ja Rule's going to become his financial advisor and his agent. And, you know, we're going to see some crazy things here in the National Football League. But, no, Antonio Brown, I wouldn't be surprised if the NFL gets involved in some way in terms of managing the situation. They obviously will be investigating this incident. He has had a domestic dispute. He wasn't arrested, so they're really going to be looking into that a little bit. But I think at the end of the day with Antonio Brown, you know, Emmanuel Sanders went on NFL Network. I thought he did a great job. You know, Antonio Brown did this to himself. You know, the whole temper tantrum, throwing the football at Ben Roethlisberger's feet in practice and then walking out and saying, I'm done. I'm not doing anything. That is not being a good teammate. I understand.
There's got to be real-world consequences for this, right?
You can't do that at your job. Like, you can't do that anywhere.
No. Because you can't do that in kindergarten.
Nope. You do that in school, you get a truancy letter, you know? So
it's because it's the basics. If you can't get the basics right, what makes me believe that when the time gets tough, when we're in the Super Bowl and the shit needs to be done and you need to do it the way I'm telling you to do it, that you're going to do it?
Yeah.
There's trust there.
That is the big thing, the entitlement. I mean, granted, he is one of the best talented players in the National Football League, arguably the best wide receiver up there with Julio Jones and some other guys right now in the National Football League.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You could be a talented player, but if you can't handle your business in a professional manner, nobody will do business with you. I mean, that's a quick way to go broke. And we see talented athletes all the time fall through the cracks because – they simply are too stubborn to change their ways. He's very outspoken. And he went back and forth with Emmanuel Sanders on Twitter. He tried calling Emmanuel Sanders out, calling him a sellout. And Emmanuel Sanders, look, I came on here, I told the truth. He said, you know, that's the thing. But I also do think the NFL also has to look into the Steelers organization. I think there is a culture issue. And I think it's not from Mike Tomlin. I don't believe it's from Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin enables some of it. But primarily, you want to know what the number one issue is with the Pittsburgh Steelers? It is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he gets to go on radio every single week after a game.
He sells his teammates out, honestly.
He throws them under
the
bus, and he doesn't take accountability for his bad performances. I mean, I go back and I watched the film in the Pittsburgh Steelers game. He literally criticized Antonio Brown on the play. He threw a pick to a defensive lineman saying he should have came in more shallower. I don't know how much more shallower you can get. If he comes any more shallower, he's going to run directly into the inside linebacker on that goal line. So really, Ben Roethlisberger wants to throw his guys under the bus and not take accountability for himself. I'm sorry, but you know, Ben Roethlisberger is the major issue with the Steelers.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a diva.
Speaking of the Steelers, Cody, do you? I'm assuming you like the Nuggets, correct?
Absolutely.
Was listening to a favorite show of the podcast, Altitude. Was listening to that today. They had Coach Malone on, and he was saying his favorite football team is the Steelers. To quote Coach Malone, he said that it was kind of like the Kardashians down there. Would you agree with his statement that it's kind of a big drama?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, no. I love Coach Malone. I love him to death. But man, I don't know how I feel about him liking the Steelers. I think that's
I know. Taste. Well, he did back it up by saying, you know, he's a fan of the Broncos and all that. But it does hurt to be second.
Yeah,
I'll tell you that.
Absolutely,
he's a great coach.
First, you're last.
That, you know, I think that's a good quote. You know, it was a lot like the Kardashians. We saw more drama with the Steelers, and it all started with the Le'Veon Bell situation, and escalated to Antonio Brown, two of their star players. And so, when two of those star players are holding out and not wanting any part of it, that goes to tell you there's a bigger thing going on behind the scenes. And that's why Emmanuel Sanders, you know, he said, "I loved coming to Denver because I had Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was a leader. Ben Roethlisberger was not a leader." I mean, he openly said that. And so that made some people mad in Steelers Nation. But at the same time, guess what?
The truth hurts.
The truth. It really does. And I think Steelers fans are coming around to it now that Ben Roethlisberger is the biggest issue for them going forward.
Do you see them trying to maybe get a quarterback in the draft or something like that? Do you think that they could just stick with Ben and kind of deal with it?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, to be honest with you, if the Steelers somehow, if the Saints don't re-sign him, I would not be surprised if the Steelers somehow bring in Teddy Bridgewater this offseason to be the backup.
Teddy.
Ben Roethlisberger can't go a whole season without missing games due to injury. And if he plays bad, I think Teddy Bridgewater could be a very, very big piece for the Steelers going forward, which I think would be more appealing with Antonio Brown. But more than likely, I don't know if Antonio Brown will be on the Steelers this year. But, you know, stranger things have happened. You know, we've seen really
– definitely.
Like, go back to Brandon Marshall to Denver, for example. We thought that whole situation was going to be done with. And then he came back after slipping on a McDonald's bag, supposedly, and, you know, going through and having to have surgery on elbow ligaments. But – you know, that whole situation with Brandon Marshall almost felt the same way as Antonio Brown. And I think this situation could get worked out, but I tell you what, until Ben Roethlisberger changes or is gone, nothing will change for the Steelers.
Very true. Mason, if you want to go ahead and close us out tonight with your question.
Again, Cody, thank you so much for coming on, man.
I know we've picked your brain enough. I just got a quick one for you. One of my favorite teams is being the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I am curious what their plan is to do with Jameis Winston. I'm wondering if Bruce Arians can come in there and salvage his career or if they're planning to move on in 2020.
What about Fitzmagic?
You know, that's a good question. That's a great question. Here's my deal, though. I think the move with them bringing in Bruce Arians signifies that, look, this is our last resort with Jameis Winston. This guy, you know, his work with quarterbacks and evolving them, we've seen him work with Peyton Manning. We've seen him work with Carson Palmer, for example, more recently. The one thing I think we're going to see from Bruce Arians is he's not going to handle the antics of what, you know, Jameis Winston has pulled in the past. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be completely stern on him. That's going to be something I look forward to seeing. And if it doesn't work out with Jameis Winston, I can almost assure that they will look at other options. I think they could go draft, but I think they have some other key needs before they address quarterback in the draft. You know, right now you have Jameis Winston. You mentioned Fitzmagic that had the whole Conor McGregor look at one point. you know, that was one thing that won me over. I was like, start him the rest of the year.
But yep.
I think ultimately this is the last chance for Jameis Winston in Tampa Bay. You know, he did play great. I thought he played tremendously better down the stretch late in the season for the Buccaneers than he did the beginning of the year and the midway point where he got entered after Fitzpatrick. So that was something that was promising for me. So can Bruce Arians transform and make him mature a little bit more and progress him as a quarterback? I think with his track record, absolutely. If that doesn't work, you can almost guarantee that the Buccaneers will head, you know, look at a new quarterback option maybe in 2019, 2020. You know, Jake Fromm coming out, Tua coming out, Jalen Hurts possibly coming out. I think the options are endless right now for the Buccaneers, but I think this is going to be a big telling year for them in determining what they want to do going forward.
Make or break year that they've ever seen.
Yep, absolutely. That would be a perfect way to describe it.
Yep, perfect.
Time will tell.
Well, yeah, time will tell. Cody, again, we'd like to thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And I mean, that probably was the best football conversation we've ever had. We'd love to have you back if you, if you'll have us. Other than that, ladies
Steven
and
wants to get
Cody
married.
Burke. Yeah.
Steven, are you in love?
Absolutely. You know, anytime you guys want me back on, I'd be happy to come talk football with you. You know, my girlfriend on Monday, she watches The Bachelorette or The Bachelor. So I need to escape that madness. So I can, you know, get away from it. So
yeah, the good thing is we do this pod on Monday, so that's awesome.
Yeah, you know what, you guys might have saved me there. So yeah, whatever you guys would like to do, I'd love to come back on in the past. Love this conversation. You know, I do this all day, every day, and it never gets old. So I appreciate you guys and love the podcast that you guys put out. You guys are doing tremendous work. You guys are grinders. You guys deserve to be heard by everybody in the NFL community. It's laid back. It's welcoming. That's the number one thing I think that's very appealing about your guys' work. So keep it up. Would love to be on again. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
hey,
man.
Thanks so much,
we
Cody.
Appreciate
ladies
you, Cody.
And gentlemen, Cody Rourke, NFL insider, Broncos insider. Thank you so much for coming on, brother.
Locked on Broncos. Give it a listen.
Yep.
Give him a listen, right. Guys. He's
thanks,
awesome.
Guys. Bye.
All right. Bye. Hey, guys. Welcome back to Smack Talk 5280. That was an incredible fucking conversation with Cody Rourke.
Seriously.
That was a great time.
You know,
I want to thank him again. Please go listen to his podcast, Locked On Broncos. Again, I can't emphasize enough how he's so educated. He's so well spoken, and
he does this for a living. So instead of listening to, you know, four Yahoo kids who, you know, think they know what they're talking about, you can hear it from an actual professional. I mean, granted,
hey man, we're getting pretty good.
I was gonna say, like, yeah, there's a couple
and,
of them.
And you know,
like, good question.
And you know, like he said, fuck it. Just kidding. He didn't say that. But yeah, I think one of the, you know, takeaways from that is if you've been listening to this podcast, we do definitely kind of like to keep it loose. We do like to talk about a lot of things that are going on in the NFL and kind of give our best opinions on that. But it's always, you know, like Steven said, good to have somebody who comes in who is proficient enough with this. You know, he sees more things than we do. He kind of gets, you know, the first take on things like that. Again, you know, he had a prediction there, and you know, if it does come true, we'll definitely go ahead and give him all credit. But again, just like to thank him for having.
Yeah, thank you, Cody, so much. Thank you all for listening. We're doing a little teaser for the next episode. The next episode we tackle, whether that be later this week or early next week, we're going to do an entirely full recap of Super Bowl 53 halftime show. SpongeBob SquarePants, everything, the whole deal. We were going to do it at the end of this one, but after we kind of ran over with Cody a little bit, we kind of wanted to give him that full attention on our podcast. So tune in next episode for our full recap of Super Bowl 53 and our opinions. Other than that, guys, thank you so much for listening. Again, this is Steven, Cody, Trey, Mason, and we love you all. We appreciate you all. You know, your guys' support has made a complete dream come true out of this entire situation. You know, we kind of tossed this together, tried to figure out a quick way to throw a podcast up. Thank God we found Anchor. And from now, we're just keeping the ball rolling, loving what we do. Again, contact us on any of our social medias, you know, whether that be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or any of our personal accounts in all three phases. And let us know if you have any topics you want us to talk about or any kind of questions for when we, you know, we open up the Q&A and everything like that. We're going to be dabbling in a little bit more of video game streaming reviews and all that kind of fun stuff, just broaden the horizons a little bit. So again, thank you for all your support. Just stay locked on Smack Talk 5280 for any kind of updates and news. Again, we appreciate all your support, and you know, thank you guys so much.
And again, if you're offended because Trey never talks that much.
Hey, I was just so mesmerized by Steven's talking there.
Honestly, I felt good about it. I felt good about it just because I always hear you, Trey. I hear you in my soul.
I'm always there spirit. When you need me. I'll chime in when you need me. It's just when somebody's going like that, dude, I'm not going to interrupt that train. That was beautiful.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's great listening to Steven talk. Steven, I love you.
Oh, love you guys,
Steven,
too.
You're a big reason this is possible, too.
Seriously, so everyone, I'd like to thank Steven as well.
Gorsh.
For being so sweet.
Did you? I just said podcast. I just happen. Said Gorsh because I've been doing Kingdom Hearts. Kingdom Hearts. That on the Gorsh. Don't worry, Cody and I will go all in on a review of Kingdom Hearts 3.
Just to let you know, farewell. We will put this at the back end of the episode so that if you are a sports person and you don't really want to hear that, you don't have to. Maybe in the future we kind of have a separate podcast if there's enough listeners.
Yeah, I'm down.
Where we do just what's kind of new in video games.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Why not? Screw it. We threw this together. All right, guys.
Sounds good.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.